Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are supposed to be separate and set apart, because otherwise there's no distinguishing factor between a Christian and someone that simply isn't. The girls that get it. The ones that don't.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha. Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. How is everyone feeling? I am feeling amazing on today, and I hope you guys like my little two-piece outfit if you guys are watching this. I don't know what it is, but I'm like really getting into like fashion. Like before, I enjoy looking nice. I really, really do. But I mean, I don't know if it's just me like turning the you know, 30, flirty, and threatening. I just really am just coming into like owning my style and really just loving. I love a two-piece suit, and this is tweed, and it is so cute, and it is so me. And also, if you're watching this, you can see that I'm very comfortable. I'm sitting, I don't know, this is not cross-legged, but I'm sitting very, very comfortably. So I hope you guys really don't mind that. I just really want to get into this message. And as you guys can see from the title, we are going to be talking about you being set apart for a reason. And I'm so excited to bring this message to you guys, because this is really going to be a blessing for you. You guys are witnessing in real time my walk with Christ, me being very vocal about my walk with Christ and making the adjustments and coming from like a lukewarm type of lifestyle, I feel, or just period, not being as vocal about my faith. And this is something I feel strongly about, you know, in realizing that ministry is something that I'm called to do, and ministry is something that I will be doing. And it took a lot for me to accept that. It's radical acceptance. And I had a radical encounter actually on Valentine's Day that I'm going to be vlogging about. I'm not even going to tell it on here because I have some interesting news coming for you guys. So just stay tuned. Keep up with me. Those of you that are enjoying me being on this journey and enjoying me being vocal about being on this journey. And I just want to say thank you to those of you that have been so encouraging to me in the comment section and that have exercised such patience with me and being so understanding of this transition that I have made. So we are going to be coming from the story and the book of Ezekiel. Now, I want to read to you guys what the book of Ezekiel is essentially about. And we're going to be coming out of my Bible study for beginners, where this basically explains all of the 66 books. So it is believed that Ezekiel wrote most of this book. However, his visions and prophecies were accurately described, okay, no matter who the author was. So the key theme of this book of Ezekiel is actually prophecy. And Ezekiel was a prophet who had visions and prophecies regarding the Jews during their exile in Babylon. And he prophesied the continual destruction of Jerusalem, as well as the final fall of that city, along with the nations that surround Israel. However, towards the end of the book, Ezekiel has a vision of the restoration of the land and the mighty people of God's magnificence being restored to Israel. So even though it's difficult to understand probably this book, there are several identifiable themes, and it displays the glory and the presence of the Lord, and how he's seen in visions, and where God's glory also leaves the old temple and comes to the Jews and stays with them in the restored temple. So God's holiness is an ongoing theme of this book, and it's revealed through Ezekiel's visions. And because of God's holiness, you know, unfortunately, yes, God does punish as well. God is just, okay? And he does judge. And the thing is, I was watching this girl named Angela Uchi, I believe, and she has a podcast called Heaven and Something. And she was saying that God tells us not to judge, but he tells us how to judge. And I really thought that that was so profound. But anyways, that's another episode. But I wanted to read that to you guys because this is adding context into the story that I'm getting into. So I know that, like I said, me being on this journey, it is difficult. And the reason that I'm using this book of Ezekiel is the fact that God is going to call you to places where it's going to be uncomfortable. In Ezekiel's position, he had to deliver a message that was so uncomfortable. And that's a lot of the time what you're going to have to do. It's what I'm doing right now. It's what you're witnessing me do. It is not easy to get on here and be like, God is good, Jesus this, and whatever, or like, turn from your wicked ways, all these different things. I believe that my office in ministry is teaching, and teaching in a fun way and still looking cute doing it. Okay, boo? Like, it's very possible. Okay. And I just feel like, you know, well, one, I just feel, you know, hot and holy. That's what it's about. Right now, there's a move of Christ happening right now. For those that know, no. The girls that get it, get it. The ones that don't, don't. And God warned Ezekiel that this message, you know, it may offend some people. The rejection is going to sting, okay? God is saying, don't pay attention to the countenance of people when delivering the message, all right? God also mentioned to not be rebellious like the people he was called to give the message to. And oh my goodness, this to me was so profound, because sometimes you want to fit in with people, right? So you feel like you have to do like them, be like them in order to show them like, I'm not really that different from you. And I'm telling you this from experience. There are things that I tolerated, you know, certain relationships, platonically, romantically, that I tolerated in my life because I always felt different, but I didn't want to accept that calling in my life. I didn't want to actually be different than everybody else. But this is the thing. In order for you to be holy, you have to be set apart. That goes directly against the Bible. So I understand that there are times where, you know, the vast majority, everyone wants to fit in, but you don't have to be down with the get down, you know, with people in any capacity, because that goes against the Bible. And this is very, very powerful. You are supposed to be separate and set apart, because otherwise, there's no distinguishing factor between a Christian and someone that simply isn't. And that is the problem. When I got this revelation, I said, wow, I hope you're catching it. You should be separate from the world. There is supposed to be a difference. People should be uncomfortable saying, like, you know, F this and then they should be uncomfortable saying it around you. And when you get uncomfortable about standing up for what is righteous, you see those devils come out of people. Okay. Where it's like, oh girl, I just feel like you're too extreme. You know, I had someone write me the other day, Aisha, are you good? Did you just say that yoga is a demonic Hindu practice? I'm not even responding to that person, but I guess now I will. Yeah, I am good. And in fact, yes, I did say that. And also, I'm going to say it again. It is. So I really hope that God shows you and has an encounter with you so that you're able to see. I've seen tons of testimonies of people coming from the New Age. I also used to dabble in these New Age type of practices myself. I also experienced a demonic encounter on the third day of a 25-day fast that I did, where I literally was in my room paralyzed and heard demons screaming in my ear. And I knew what it was, so I wasn't scared. I just was feeling very tortured because I wanted to go to sleep. And it was like this ominous feeling that was locking me in place. And I couldn't move my mouth. And I just kept thinking to myself, if I could just stay awake long enough so I can turn on my TV and put on some worship music so I could drown these demons out. The devil hates worship. Worship is warfare for the devil. Okay. So it's interesting what spirits start to manifest out of people when they don't like what you have to say. Oh, girl, you think you did. You know, the interesting theme in my life is people that were haters always had to be like, oh, she thinks she's better than everyone. Now that I'm on this walk, it's, oh, she's just a Jesus girl now. You can't win with people. When I was trying to act like you guys, I was still magically set apart and people, you know, certain haters would feel a certain way. Now that I'm on this journey, you know, I'm sure people may have something to say. You know what I mean? Because people have something to say about everything. You can't please people. So when you are on this walk, you cannot be dismayed by the countenance on people's faces. That is what God is saying in the scripture. He's trying to encourage Ezekiel and tell him, listen, I know that this message is going to be hard for people to be receptive to. I know that this message is going to be very difficult for people to understand, and they're going to, you know, scrounge up their faces. They're going to want to discourage you, because when you look and you pay attention to their countenance and you are not living for a deeper purpose, which is in Jesus Christ, when you're not living for that, it is easy for you to be swayed by the waves and feel like, oh, maybe I guess I shouldn't say that. It's so interesting how it's okay to say you want to charge your crystals. It's okay to say, I'm a good witch, and no one says anything about it. It's okay to say, do this ritual and use that terminology of rituals and all these different things. That is not God. That is not God. God does not say ever in the Bible, do this ritual and whatever. He doesn't use those terms. Now, of course, there are certain things that can be translated, that can be modernized, but that's a separate subject. But at the end of the day, when you're practicing, and I'm saying this solely from experience, where it's like, okay, today's manifestation day. So like, put this water with a crystal in it by your window and let the moon charge it and all these different things. You guys know what it is that I'm talking about. Or like taking your like menstrual blood and putting it on your face so that you can like be more beautiful or something like that. Like, these are things that I like legit used to actually believe at one point. And it sounds absolutely asinine. Blood in a biblical sense means life. And this is why, from a demonic standpoint, the devil always likes to have blood sacrifices. He likes that life to be sacrificed. Jesus Christ already, you know, died for our sins. He paid the ultimate price for us. He already did that. Anyways, like I was saying, people should be able to tell the difference between a believer and someone that isn't saved. So let that be encouragement to you right now, that you are capable of being able to walk in alignment with your ministry. And if you're feeling called to something higher, then you need to step into that office. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13. This is via the commentary app I have on my phone. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. What does this mean? Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Instead of thinking of trials, okay, even fiery trials, as strange occurrences, see them as ways to partake in part of Christ's suffering. All right. And when we partake in Christ's suffering, we also partake of his glory and his joy, because he paid the ultimate price. Think it not strange that when you are on this path, you're going to start dropping friends. Think it not strange that sometimes your life is going to feel upside down for a season, because think it not strange that you're feeling like no matter what you do, you're just losing interest in the things that you used to have a tolerance for. You don't want to participate in the same activities that you used to. And don't listen to the world's customs. They're going to call you crazy. They're going to say you're too extreme. But these people are drinking, smoking, doing all these different things every single weekend, completely obliterating their livers. And we're extreme for not wanting to do those things. Do you see how the devil is so deceptive? And he'll have people partaking in sinful things that lead to bad health, poor choices, you know, just leading a life that leads to nowhere, empty, empty, empty. And he'll have you thinking you're crazy. You know, it kind of reminds me of, let's just say you're in school and you dress differently. actually, I'll bring it to my example. When I always loved dressing up in school, and I won best dress when I was in high school, and there were girls that didn't like me, and so they would make fun of me, and it did not affect me because I knew, like, this is what I want to do. And eventually those girls, every time for their birthday is when they wanted to wear heels and they all dressed up, and it literally became a thing in my school where every time it's someone's birthday, everybody dressed up. And I don't want to say like they were me, but they all put on heels and everything. I'm like the only person in school that wears heels. Are you kidding me? I legit was wearing full-blown heels to school, not even caring about anything. And the same people that made fun of me were the same people that tried to imitate me. They wanted to make me feel stupid. Girl, where are you going? Like, it's just class. It's not that serious. Girl, why do you care so much about your appearance? Like, it's not that serious. Like, we're just in school. And these are the same people that secretly envied me and wanted to do the same thing. They envied that courage that I had. And obviously, when you're in high school, you're not thinking, they're envious of my courage to be myself. They're envious of my authenticity. I don't know. Maybe the climate has changed. Maybe these days people do recognize things like that. But when I was in high school, that's not something you think about. You know, you're young, you're a teenager. And by nature, we are pack animals, right? So you really want to fit in. And I always stood out because I loved dressing up to school. It really made me feel very good. And clearly there was no one else doing it. So it's not like I was copying somebody. I was just, that was just who I am. It is who I am. And so that's an example to show you that when you're set apart, you are set apart for a reason. And people, and a lot of the people of this world, they're going to come against you. They're going to say things about you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to persecute you. And they're going to try and bring up things like, and that's the wonderful thing that I find about God's redemption and his grace and his favor over our lives is that he does not, you know, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Hallelujah. Okay. Like, that is so profound to me because it's like I said in a previous podcast, God is not sitting here calling blemish-free people. He knows that all of us have a past, and that makes us all the more relatable. I have a story. You have a story. And seeing that wonderful and that beautiful transition of like, wow, I used to do this just like so-and-so. I used to think like this. I used to whatever. And to now be made whole and to think differently is a testimony to God's transformation over your life. It is a testimony to how God can literally heal you, make you clean, and set you apart from the ways that you used to participate in. Do you not see it that way? Think it not strange when you are faced with these trials. Think it is biblical. It is written. Think it not strange. These are part of the sacrifice of standing on our faith and really knowing that God is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. When we partake of Christ's sufferings, right? We can only partake of Jesus's sufferings because he partook of humanity and humanity's sufferings. That's how that goes. So he became a man and he suffered so that our suffering wouldn't be meaningless. I'm telling you this right now. There is a heaven and there is a hell. This life is temporary. We are spiritual beings, but we are comprised of like souls, right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. And when you live of this world and you participate in sinful things, you know, these customs, and you don't understand the gravity of it, you're not grieving the Holy Spirit yet. I'm not sitting here on a pedestal trying to talk down to anybody. That is never and will never be my message. I'm not trying to do that. I'm here to say these things with conviction because I love you. And I'm trying to model my life, trying to strive to just, you know, be a disciple of Jesus. And it's kind of like follow me as I follow Christ. And I'm okay with that. Even though I'm not perfect and there will be mistakes, there have been mistakes that I've made, but I still am striving to be a disciple of Christ. And that's the best that I can do. You know, and that's my best advice to you. So anyways, it is good to share anything with Jesus, even in his suffering. And you're going to experience that being on this journey. You know, you see this radical move of God coming, you know, in the entertainment industry. You see a radical move of God coming right now, probably even on YouTube, where you're seeing this transition. And I realized, wait a second, I'm one of those people. And it's like, oh my gosh, God is really calling some soldiers here, because what the heck? Like, I would have never have anticipated, like, literally accepting ministry and being like, okay, Aisha, it's time to give up, you know, the channel now. It's time to start ministry. What? Are you kidding me? Like, no, never would I have or ever have imagined that. It's important that we rejoice to the extent, okay, that we partake in Christ's sufferings, okay? Even, you know, when his glory is revealed to us, okay, it should feel joyful for us. And the thing is, our tendency, you know, is to embrace this glory and joy and avoid sharing these things with Jesus. So we just want all the good parts. Oh God, I want your blessings. God, I want your favor over my life. God, I want this. God, I want that. But we don't want to pay the price, because it comes with a price. Luckily, we don't have to pay the price of what Jesus did, because again, he paid it. He paid the ultimate price. But there comes a price with walking in this path. There comes a price with walking on the narrow road. I'm telling you this right now, and it is no mistake that I went through the things that I went through, the warfare that I went through, you know, where there being demonic activity placed upon my life that I went through and I endured for 3 years. That is not a mistake. It taught me to be a fighter in the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to fight you in real life. I will sue you, but I will fight you in the Holy Spirit. You will not play with me as it pertains to Jesus. You absolutely will not. Because one thing I know is my authority in Christ. And so those experiences, those fiery trials that I experienced, it equipped me to know who I am in Christ. And it took a while, because this is a recent revelation for me that I learned over the course of last year. And this journey has technically started for me since 2016, but I fell off, you know what I mean? Like around the end of 2017, 2018, da 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 da. Then pandemic happened. I picked it back up. You know what I mean? In 2022, I was like full on force on fire, where I was like, God, let's do it your way. I really am at the end of myself. I'm done. I'm at the end of myself. And so, like I said, we want to take all of the blessings, all these different things, and we don't want to deal with the persecution and family. It is going to come, okay? Or we tend to fixate on the suffering that we endure, and we forget that it is necessary. It's a necessary prelude to the glory and the joy. And I know hearing that might sound confusing to you. Oh, you mean I have to suffer, da da da. Okay, well, put it like this. I always use gym terms. You're gonna have to deal with uncomfortability in order to get to the joy. When people hear things from a biblical context, that's how you know these demons start arising and start manifesting out of people. What do you mean by that? But you give it to them in worldly terms. Life is not always going to be easy. Don't give up. There are going to be times in life where you have to endure hardship. And if you really want change, you have to be able to endure all of the trials and tribulations that you're going to go through in life. You know, like if you were to put it in those terms, it's like fine. But the second you make it about God, who's basically saying exactly those things, it's like, I feel like that's like a little bit too much. Mm-mm. God has set you apart for a reason. I'm saying this as encouragement to you. I'm saying this as encouragement to myself as well. And so, you know, for me, the question comes, right, where people are like, I feel like all you have to do is be a good person. In the Bible, it says, I don't know what scripture, Holy Spirit, reveal it to me, but there's a scripture that says that we are not going to get into heaven by doing good deeds alone. We have to follow God with our life. You can't just be good and then, oh yeah, God, I did all these good things. But do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that he's your Lord and Savior? It takes more than that. It takes more than your good works to get into heaven. There's a scripture, Romans 7:21. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. Or the Christian Standard Bible version, I will read this. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what's wrong. Or the New Living Translation. Anyone who has tried to do good is aware of this struggle. We never know how hard it is to stop sinning until we try. No man knows how bad he is until he's tried to be good. And that is actually a quote by C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Screwtapes letters or whatever. I have to read that book. I know it's so profound and I have to read it, but C.S. Lewis is really amazing. But I love that. I'm going to repeat it again. No man knows how bad he is until he has tried to be good. Every time I try to do good, evil is always present. There's always going to be temptation there. There's always going to be temptation for someone to say, girl, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in literally 3 months. You go to church all the time. Can't you just like not go? And you know, it kind of reminds me of instances where there have been people in my life that I've been friends with at certain points in my life. And at the time, I remember I was going to church like 4 times a week because that's what we were doing in my church. And I remember that person would always try and get, oh, like, do you want to just like hang out with me? Like, don't. And then these are the same type of people that in the end will have so much to say about you. Oh, well, after they lure you in, then they want to talk about you too. Oh, well, I don't really think she's really like that because we were just in so-and-so and she was dancing like this and she was doing this. These are the same people. They want to, and that's what the devil does. He wants to minimize the crime. And then as soon as you commit the crime, then he wants to maximize the punishment and then condemn you. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Jesus will convict you in the Holy Spirit for you to grieve the Holy Spirit to say, God, I repent for what it is that I did. I am sorry. But the devil is going to condemn you and be like, you're disgusting. You haven't changed. You're going to do the same thing again. And then he's going to tempt you with that same thing to validate and confirm that you haven't changed. Interesting. Do not play with fire because you will get burned. You cannot charm a snake. Okay. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Fight the good fight. Friends, fight the good fight. You will suffer persecution. And I'm saying this to you. I'm saying this to myself. It's going to happen. Before I was even on this journey of being, you know, radical in my ministry, I was suffering persecution. So it just goes to show, and I'm sure all of you, not some of you, not many of you, all of you have experienced this, that's listening to this right now, that's watching this right now. You've all experienced what it's like. You may not even be where I am. You may not even be a Christian and you've suffered persecution. So it kind of just goes to show, you might as well make it for a good cause. You might as well be armored up in the Holy Spirit. If we're not willing to have others think of us as strange, if we're not willing to be rejected by some for the sake of Jesus Christ, if we're not willing to be an outcast before some people, then we can never truly be followers of Christ. You just can't. Because the things of this world go directly against biblical principle and context. A lot of it does. And we all know that the devil is deceitful. He has counterfeits of things. Oh, you are your own God. You know, with the new ageism and the occult and witchcraft and da-da-da-da. And you know, Angela Uche said something that I thought was so profound too. She said, rebellion is a form of witchcraft. You guys have to stop thinking that witchcraft is you sitting behind a ball and conjuring up demons, or you going to the cemetery and bringing a Ouija board with you. That is not only demonic activity. Satan is a deceitful person. He's a deceptive person. He likes to present things to us and make and tempt us with our fleshly desires, right? The sin of pride, the lust of life, the lust of our eyes. These are the ways in how he tries to tempt us. 2 Timothy 3:13 through 15, the course of evil men and the course of the godly, right? Evil men, and I'm reading this from the commentary, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So what does this mean? Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, right? Evil men refers to the obvious, the enemies of Jesus. Imposters refers to those who appear good and many think of as fine, but they're actually destructive forces among Jesus's followers. That is the devil disguised himself as an angel of light. That man that you are obsessed with disguised himself as a good man. Is it that far of a reach and a concept to understand that this is how the devil sneaks in? The devil is an imposter, like I was saying, and he presents things to us that are counterfeit, things that are going to seem very attractive. Think about celebrities. Okay. With celebrities, they are promised fortune and fame. When Satan had tempted Jesus when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and said, I will make you ruler over all of these kingdoms. And easily Jesus could have had a weak moment and said, you know what? That doesn't sound so bad. Now, what am I going to choose? Do I want to be nailed to a cross? I want to emphasize the fact that Jesus was a real person. What made Jesus more real to me, honestly, was literally watching The Passion of Christ. I have just seen that movie. I'm 29 and I just seen that movie for the first time, like last month or less than a month ago. And it humanized Jesus to me. He was a real person. This is not make believe. There is evidence of Jesus's clothing, okay, in museums. He was a real person. So I want to just put that out there, that we are, you know, spiritual beings. The Holy Spirit is real. God is real, and God was Jesus in human form. There is no refuting this. End of story. So that knowing that tangibly really like had my faith. Like I already believed, like I always believed in Jesus. And I feel very fortunate that I never questioned his existence. I do. But that made it very real to me that Jesus was like for real, for real. He was really here, guys, like you and I. But anyways, he tempted him and said he was going to be ruler over the kingdoms. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He's about to be nailed to a cross. The things that they did to him, like beat, as he had to carry his own cross, they beat him. Oh my goodness. And he had to carry his own cross to his own persecution. He was tortured and died a slow death. He chose that over being ruler of all of these kingdoms tempted by the devil. So think of it like this. If Jesus was able to make that decision, we are able to make these decisions on a daily basis. Who are you living for? You may not even be aware of what it is that you're doing, but I'm telling you that this is very real. And for those of you that don't believe, I encourage you, I want to pray that you guys have a radical encounter with Jesus. Radical encounter with Jesus so that he shows you that he is absolutely real. So let's dive into this a little bit more. Like I said, there are two kinds of people, right? There are evil men and there are imposters. And these people will grow worse and worse. Like I said, they'll be deceiving and being deceived. And Paul actually gives us insight into how many people are effective deceivers among God's people. They themselves are also being deceived. So yeah, motives are important, but sometimes we place too much importance on them. And a lot of harm is done to people, you know, or done by people who are sincerely deceived, who try to do wrong things out of wonderful motives. Because others look at their wonderful hearts and they accept their dangerous deceptions. We cannot always go on the motives of others. We must measure people by their truth. Oh, it wasn't my intention to literally gossip about you to this person, da da da. But the truth is, the principle is you did. This is why it's a principle thing. Okay. Oh, I knew that was wrong what I did. Like I knew I shouldn't have told my boss that you came in 15 minutes late all the time because I knew that you wanted to get promoted. I'm so sorry. Like my intention was just to tell the truth, like all these different things. But you are literally doing something to harm someone else. You're doing something to harm another person. I don't care what your motive is. What is the truth? I'm going to measure you by the truth. That's what I'm going to measure you by. And those examples, honestly, were not even the best. I want to even put that out there. I should have came up with better examples, but you guys are understand what I'm saying. It is easy to be deceived, okay? It is so easy to be deceived. How do you think all these other religions come about? Oh, you don't have to go to church to praise God. Wherever you are, they're the churches also. And these are people, the extra deceptive people, they like to manipulate scripture to follow, you know, their lifestyle. Oh, but doesn't the Bible say that wherever the church is, you are? So like, I could just have church in my house. But God also says not to forsake the assembly. God enforces the fact that we need good, godly community around us so that we, because we are not meant to walk in this faith walk alone. God also says that there are strength in numbers where two or three are gathered. There he is in the midst. Okay. He says that in his word. So in 2 Corinthians 11:14, okay. This is where it, you know, there's deception, because since Satan himself, he masquerades as an angel of light. Oh, you want that man? Just sleep with him. It's what you want to do. And besides, you're way better looking than his girlfriend is anyway. Why don't you hit him up on Instagram? Why don't you add him to your close friends once he starts following you back and start posting all these thirst traps so that he can comment and DM you about it? I mean, after all, if he really loved his girlfriend, he wouldn't even bother following you back. So you're not really guilty because you're not making him do anything. You're just seeing what his true intention is and seeing if he's going to take the bait. And hey, if he takes the bait, then he's not really hers after all now, is he? So to you, you're not doing anything bad because you didn't tell him to hit you up. You just placed yourself in front of him and he happened to take the bait. And to you, that's okay. That's how deceptive the devil is. He makes sin look like it is the best thing ever, but then you end up feeling so down and low and depressed and just disgusting. You feel filthy with all the things you've done. People that have done these things and have lived this lifestyle, they don't feel good about themselves when they go home. Sin is always fun until you literally realize, wait a second, why am I, everything I'm doing, I'm why am I still feeling empty? I need more. I need more. I need more. I need more. Because with the devil, he's insatiable and he wants us to pay with our lives. To him, we are the ultimate sacrifice. It is a war between our souls of good and evil. And he wants us to choose him because he knows, man, it's another life I could take. Another blood sacrifice. I know where they're going, straight to hell with me to be tortured in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of hell. That's what he wants. Jeremiah 1 verse 4 and also 1 verse 10. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. What is your office? Are you a teacher? Are you an evangelist? Are you a prophet? What are you? Do you have children's ministry on you? There are so many different offices. Not everyone is called to be a preacher and the Bible says, and no one says you got to do all that. I'm not doing all that. Nobody said that. Understand that there are different offices in the kingdom of heaven that you absolutely have a role in. As children of God. So it says, see, I've appointed you in Jeremiah 1 verse 10. See, I have appointed you today over the nations and the kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, and to build and to plant. Now, the irony is the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But as children of God, being set apart, being appointed over the nations, right? God wants us to uproot the father of lies, aka Satan, and to tear these lies down, destroy and demolish these lies and turn away from our wicked ways, and to build and to plant for the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Oh, but why can't I just be a good person? Like in the Bible, it says, Mark 10 verse 18, that none is good except God. So let's just shut that down right there. Okay. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, like none is good except God. I just told you guys that scripture. Every time I try to do good, evil is always present. We are always at a crossroads. It even down to the most mundane decisions. Oh, darn, like, man, like I want to start waking up early as my like higher self. It's like, okay, I'm stuck with a choice here. Do I go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and think that I'm going to wake up at 6:30 in the morning? And then, oh, I'm going to go to a Pilates class. And then, oh, I'm going to be, you know, fully dressed and out the house by like 9, 10:30. We are faced with that choice right there. Okay. And in 1 Corinthians, I didn't even put the verse. I don't even understand. But it says that God, in some scripture in 1 Corinthians, that God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. So let that serve to you as a message that anytime you are feeling like you're at a crossroads, there are certain times where you may be at a crossroads, right? Where God is uprooting things out of your life. So things may feel like they are confusing, yet you can't even help it. You feel called to deal with that isolation period. You feel, oh, you have to let those friends fall by the wayside. You have to let certain things happen so that you can die in Christ and become a new creature in him. Proverbs 16 verse 7, when a person's ways pleases the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him, because people will shift you out of position just so that they can replace you. Hallelujah. People will shift you out of your position just so they can replace you. Oh my goodness. I felt that, because that is precisely something that I've experienced in my life. I'm sure you have experienced in your life too. People want to talk about you like a dog. They want to persecute you. They want to do this. They want to lie. Da, da, da. They want to deceive, all these different things. And when people want to destroy you, what do? They remove your credibility. That's the first thing that they go after. They want to remove your credibility, because if they could do that, then they can try and destroy you by discrediting you so that they can replace you. That is demonic. That is demonic. Because if people understood how special, how unique we all are as individuals, that we all serve a purpose in the kingdom of heaven, you would never in your life ever try to be anyone other than yourself, because you understand how unique you are in the kingdom of heaven, that you don't need to try and take something from someone else. You don't need to be like anyone else. We all have our own unique gifts. And I'm going to end here with Matthew 13, 24, the parable of the wheat and the tares. So at harvest time, right? So wheat and tares, they tend to look identical to each other. And sometimes, you know, when you uproot one, you think you're uprooting a tare, but it'll actually be a wheat. But if you wait until harvest time, the tares start to look different. So God has to remove certain people from hurting your future. Because when you don't separate yourself, God will do the separating. I felt that revelation. When you do not separate yourself, God is going to do the separating. He's going to remove, and if you're so fortunate too and how it's done, he's going to remove these desires from you where you no longer can relate to the people that you're relating to. And it's no harm, no foul. It's not, ugh, I don't even like her. Da-da-da. No, it's just, hey, right now our worlds are just going two different ways, and that's okay. I am called into, you know, children's ministry right now. I'm called to radically change my life. God is calling me to submit to him, to surrender to him. And right now this isn't working. And it happens to everybody. People will not always be receptive of this journey because they are not meant to understand it. Let people fall by the wayside. You are supposed to be leading by example. You are set apart for a reason. It is time for you to pick up your cross, and it's time for you to walk in your calling, walk in your anointing, whatever that may look like for you. Amen. So I really hope that this episode has encouraged you, angels. And with that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I will speak to you, beautiful angels, in my next episode. Mwah.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online.
I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.